Since 2011, Wisconsin has changed laws governing landlords and tenants more than 100 ways. That's according to an investigation by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It turns out some of the lawmakers pushing for changes to benefit landlords are landlords themselves. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. Are you a landlord or a renter? What do you think about lawmakers weakening tenant protections? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. We're talking about it with Mary Spicuzza. She's an investigative reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Mary, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me on.
We appreciate your time. Let's start with some of those laws passed since 2011, your investigation reviewed. How have lawmakers effectively weakened tenant rights when dealing with personal property after people are evicted?
So Carrie Spivak and I, Carrie is really an expert on this issue, and we just went through and reviewed. There have been some major omnibus laws that wrap in like a bunch of changes, and some of them, for example, allowed a landlord to dispose of tenants' property, or most of it, not prescription drugs or medical equipment, but most of it immediately after an eviction. Previously, they had to store it supposedly at renter's expense, and they disputed that and felt like it was too expensive for landlords. There have been some cases, however, of Carrie interviewed a woman for a separate story who said that, you know, she was basically going to try to get a moving van and came back and found her property, you know, all over the curb and had already been picked through by other people. So that's one of the changes. Another one is just speeding up the eviction process overall to try to make it easier to evict a tenant if they suspect criminal activity or believe criminal activity is occurring. However, it doesn't require a police involvement or an arrest. And so I think that tenants' rights advocates or tenants are concerned that that could be, you know, somebody thinks they smell pot or marijuana and want to evict somebody. Landlords have disputed that and said it would have to be more serious.
And so speeding up the eviction process when it comes to criminal activity, also some defenses by lawyers who represent low-income tenants. What's this change there?
So that was a change involving, well, really what a lot of lawyers who work with tenants felt like was targeting the Eviction Defense Project, which has been a project aimed at trying to curb evictions in cities like Milwaukee, where there's really, a lot of people read the book about it, but that a lot of people feel like it's a crisis where families are moving constantly and being evicted by landlords repeatedly. So this was a way that a lot of the time they're trying to have lawyers represent these tenants. And a lot of tenants, you know, just don't, they're not lawyers. They don't know their legal rights. They don't know different arguments that they could have in court. And so advocates really felt like some of the changes were targeting the Eviction Defense Project or similar groups
try
to go to court.
Right. You also find that lawmakers have limited when tenants can withhold rent for living in poor conditions. How did Wisconsin law change there?
So that basically said that a tenant can withhold rent still if they say a unit is uninhabitable. But the new law says that they must directly impact health and safety. And as you can imagine, a landlord and a tenant may have very different ideas of what a problem that impacts health and safety would be. So somebody would say, my power keeps going out. It's uninhabitable because my food is spoiling and I can't see and it's dark. A landlord may feel like, well, we're getting it fixed and it's not going out that often, so it's not really a health and safety issue.
One law bans landlords from requiring proof from tenants for emotional support animals. So this is an example of lawmakers expanding tenant protections. How often did you find that?
Well, so that's actually it's interesting because they kind of actually tightened that rule a little bit. They felt like too many people were having emotional support animals and saying, like, this is my emotional support dog or my emotional support snake. So basically they said, we can't ban emotional support animals altogether, but we can try to get a doctor's note. So it's not just somebody self-diagnosing is that they need a, you know, emotional support animal where one is not typically allowed, especially if it's like a dog that other tenants might be frightened of.
Let's go to the phones now. John from Wazika. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you. What question do you have?
My question relates to the, I guess I'd say, the livability of a rental property. I'm wondering what landlords are required to provide as far as, you know, minimal standards in terms of having screens on the window, not having a leaky roof, and those sorts of things. I'm currently behind on my rent, but my trailer's not in the greatest shape. Roof in the bathroom leaks. Have no screens on the window. Currently don't have any electricity because they like you to pay the bill on time, and I haven't been able to do that. I'm traveling back and forth Wazika Lacrosse 5 days a week for radiation therapy for cancer. And I have a few more things that I can really manage on my own, but I'm trying to do it on my own.
Yeah. John,
but the livability question is really foremost in my mind this morning.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that experience. Mary, John's trying to figure all of this out on his own, and he's trying to figure out, you know, what rights he has and what he should expect from his landlords. Does Wisconsin law say explicitly what livability means?
I'm so sorry that you're going through that. I think that there are, it does sound like the leaky roof and the screens off the windows are a concern. I know that landlords, for example, are supposed to have a window that can open in each room. I believe that window is supposed to have a screen. I would have to double check, but it's considered, if somebody has windows that, for example, don't open, it's considered a safety risk, especially, you know, if you think of trying to escape a building during a fire, that you want to have outlets or ways to get out of a room. So I think that, and then there are some also, I believe that there are some assistance programs for renters who are having, for example, like a medical emergency where you may be able to get assistance for your rent. So I'd be happy to, you know, I think that there are some, I don't know if the Eviction Defense Project would be able to help based on where you are, but you might want to reach out to them or a tenant group in your area because they do have lawyers who consult with people for no fee and can share their expertise. Since I'm not actually a lawyer or a tenant lawyer, I couldn't advise you, but I think that you really should reach out to somebody and look up the tenant resource group in your area.
Well, also
feel free to email me later and I can send you some contacts.
Great, great. We'll also make sure that those resources are posted on WPR.org. Mary Spacuzza is an investigative reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'm Keely Boltina, and we want to hear from you about lawmakers who are also landlords and changes for renters. Are you a landlord who's seen renters take advantage of you and legally do it? Maybe you're a renter like John and you feel like you've been treated unfairly. What's your story? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Mary, some people want statewide standards. Other people want local authorities to decide what's best in their communities. How have lawmakers limited local control when it comes to housing?
So this has been a big area of dispute between Republican state lawmakers who have been changing the laws and cities like Milwaukee, Madison, Appleton, other municipalities too. But for example, state lawmakers voided local ordinances that mandated sprinklers in buildings if they have fewer than 20 units. So there was actually some clashes between lawmakers and firefighters or firefighter associations who were concerned about what they saw as weakening of fire safety standards. They also restricted how and when a local government can conduct neighborhood inspections. So Milwaukee's argument was that they were seeing a lot of violations and, you know, among absentee landlords in places like the East Side, where there are a lot of university students, or the North Side, where there are a lot of renters and absentee landlords. And they really wanted to target certain areas that they knew were problems. The state lawmakers, Speaker Voss and others, felt like that was being implemented unfairly, and that certain landlords or certain neighborhoods were being targeted. So they really restricted those neighborhood inspections to the point where some municipalities have just stopped doing targeted inspections altogether or really scaled them back because they felt like it was so hard to go out and do them that it was almost impossible to pay somebody to be able to get into a property if they weren't actually going to be able to, for example, get into the property. So those are just a couple of the changes that have kind of pitted the local governments that wanted to do some of these inspections that say, you know, we're the ones who know what's going on in our communities and we should be the ones setting the rules. But state lawmakers were concerned, especially complained about some of the laws in Madison.
Could property owners, including some lawmakers, benefit financially from those changes to local control?
So that's what we really wanted to. We wanted to get at the idea that we're not saying all there, you know, all tenants are good or all landlords are bad. We wanted to look at that area where, you know, going through financial interest statements or statements of economic interest among lawmakers, I don't think Carrie or I realized just how many lawmakers are landlords. And some of them are not major landlords. They might own, you know, just a couple of properties or a rental unit here and there. But somebody like Speaker Robin Voss from Rochester, he actually owns a number of properties in Whitewater, where he had gone to school, and is a fairly major landlord there. We counted, you know, sometimes you'll sell a property here and there, but he owned close to $4 million worth of property, rental, like residential rental properties just in Whitewater alone.
And Mary, let's pause right there, and we'll talk about Speaker Voss when we come back. Mary Spicuzza is an investigative journalist, our guide through this conversation about lawmakers who are also landlords. Do you work in local government on housing issues? Should powers be expanded? Are they okay? 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Wisconsin's legislature has passed laws that benefit landlords, dozens of them in the last decade, and you can join our conversation about it. 800-642-1234. Tell us your story or ask what question you have. Also, the investigation shows about one out of every five state lawmakers who voted on the bills owned or managed rentals. What do you think about that? Mary Spicuzza is an investigative journalist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and she's taking us through their findings. Mary, we were talking about Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Obviously, as Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, he's an influential gatekeeper in the legislative process. You say he owns 23 properties worth almost $4 million in Whitewater.
Right. He does. He was a student there. It used to be called Ladwig and Voss was the rental company that was actually created by, there was another family, the Ladwigs, the Vosses. Robin has taken it over, and this, I believe it's now called Whitewater College Rentals, although he has a couple of different companies there.
And you reached out to some of his past tenants, visited several of the properties. What did you learn?
You know, a lot of them, Carrie and I spent quite a while just walking around, looking at the properties. A lot of tenants were moving in and out because it was the end of the school year. You know, a lot of them looked like, I guess, your typical college rentals. You know, and I think some of them are probably have had some wear and tear from the tenants themselves. You know, there were some beer cups around and things like that. But we did notice, we talked to some tenants who had issues. One of them actually sued him in court with her roommates, Candace, her last name is now Berryman. And actually they ended up settling, and she did pretty well in that lawsuit. And she said she had some pretty harsh words about Speaker Voss as a landlord. But other tenants we spoke to were more moderate and said, you know, he's a pretty typical college landlord. It's not like our forever home. There were some issues in one house that we visited. His office insisted that they were fixing those. And it had some, you know, sand and water in the basement, or pulled up water on the basement on the floor, some mold issues. His office said that had work was planned and delayed and that they were going to fix it. But I would say probably the harshest critic we talked to was Ms. Berryman, who sued him in court back when she was a student and actually did quite well in that lawsuit.
What does Voss say about sponsoring and voting for legislation that could potentially affect his business? Does he see a problem?
He does not. He was very insistent that he is not looking out for personal profit, that this is all about what he sees as a property owner's rights, and that said it's very in line with conservative values that he stands up for the rights of the property owners. Obviously, critics disagreed, and we spoke to an ethicist a former ethicist from the Bush administration who said that basically he sees it's very obvious that they're trying to help their own financial interests rather than the people of the state. And that I think his quote was, this is the kind of thing that makes the legislature look bad. So I think it's one of those where it depends who you ask whether they see it's a conflict of interest. But Speaker Voss, former Senator Lissay, who we also spoke to for the story, clearly did not.
Mary Spacuzza is an investigative reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're talking about the fact that some Wisconsin lawmakers own property and they vote on bills that sometimes lessen the rights for renters. Let's go to John in Milwaukee. John, welcome to the morning show. What's your question?
Hi. I wanted to find out if there's any length of time that landlords or even other people could try to exclude someone from a unit. You know, let's say that someone was thought to be a little disruptive or what have you, was evicted and moved out, but then returned later as a visitor. Can the landlord try to keep him from ever visiting again?
John, thanks for the question. Mary, is that within your purview?
That's a little different than the laws that we were looking at. However, it does. I think that it's one of those where there could be, depending on how disruptive they were or whether they committed a crime at the property, there could be a potential restraining order there involving another tenant if they were, you know, if they were a domestic abuser who was beating someone in the property and trying to return, that could be a legal issue that police or the courts may want to get involved in. But I would have to, it probably depends on the case and how when you say disruptive. So I don't
right.
think I could speak to that specifically, but it does. I think that there would be some concerns if somebody had been injuring somebody at a property and then trying to return.
Thank you. I appreciate that. The state has conflict of interest laws that are meant to stop people from using government positions for personal gain. Could these votes favoring landlords be a violation of that?
Well, so what they Speaker Voss did provide letters that he had gotten from the state about that issue. And basically the determination was that these laws were not specifically written to benefit Speaker Voss and that it was a broader class of people than just him. So I think it would be more of a problem if or a more of a direct conflict or direct violation if, for example, a lawmaker said, I'm going to make it harder for local officials who regulate college rentals in Whitewater, Wisconsin. But because it was broader and didn't just specifically affect one lawmaker or two, that's why it was found to be not a violation.
What about this history of lawmakers in Wisconsin having other jobs, the so-called citizen legislators? How is a landlord dealing with real estate legislation different than someone like a doctor dealing with healthcare policy?
You know, and that was something that Speaker Voss and others brought up, is we are a citizen legislature. We're not full-time lawmakers, and everyone has, or most people have, I don't want to call them side gigs, but because they're probably pretty profitable businesses. I think what we noticed was that we haven't seen a wave of a bunch of doctors in the legislature passing bills that would benefit doctors. But we would certainly write about that if we did, not if they were, you know, if it was saying like making it for example, harder to sue doctors. So I think that there are lots of potential conflicts of interest for all different kinds of professions. And this was just one that jumped out at us. Carrie's been covering a lot of landlord-tenant issues in recent years. I've been covering the state legislature for about 6 years, and it was something that both of us noticed was just there are a lot of laws that have passed that critics say benefit landlords and a lot of landlords of the legislature. So
today is a different political landscape than when these measures were passed before there was a Republican state legislature, both chambers, and a Republican governor. And now Wisconsin has divided government. Do you see any changes to the tenant or landlord protections that we have now?
I think a lot of these changes would have a much harder time getting past Governor Tony Evers, who's a Democrat, than they did against, I think it was a much easier passage for Governor Walker. That's not to say there might not be some areas of commonality that they agree laws should be changed. But I think even some of the lobbyists who work for landlords or landlord associations said that they felt like there was an opportunity to get laws passed because of who was in the legislature and the total control that Republicans had of, you know, both houses and the governor's office. So I would not be surprised if we don't see these sweeping, multifaceted landlord bills. I think that they would be a lot harder to get passed, and or they could pass and then be vetoed.
Timing makes a difference.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Mary. We really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Mary Spacuzza is an investigative journalist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We've been talking about how Wisconsin lawmakers have approved changes to landlord and tenant protections. And some of those lawmakers who've supported the bills, they're also property owners or own different rental homes. She was talking with us about her investigation. You're listening to The Morning Show. Host Kate Archer-Kent is back on Monday. I'm Keely Boltina, and this is the Ideas Network.